The information and opinions expressed on the programs provide general information relating to health and are not intended to constitute advice or specific recommendations relating to any particular ailment, disease, or condition. Listeners should not individually rely on the information given here. The program content is not a substitute for a consultation with a qualified medical doctor. We encourage you to make an appointment with your own doctor in order to resolve any of your health concerns. You're listening to Health Radio.
Health Radio.
Ask Dr. DeSilva on Health Radio. And now, here's Dr. Derek DeSilva.
Welcome, my friends, once again. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for getting together with us. It's always a pleasure right here to spend some time with you on Health Radio. Joining us right now is Dr. Robert Gregg. Dr. Gregg is a dentist and he's the president of the Institute for Advanced Laser Dentistry. And he joins us on the show to discuss gum disease. He's also the president and chairman of the board of Millennium Dental Technologies, Inc., and president of the Institute of Advanced Laser Dentistry, as I said before. Dr. Gregg, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Thank you very much. So it is well established, and I think it's well known, that there is a strong correlation between gum disease, oral disease, specifically periodontal disease, and heart disease. Can you comment on that and just give us a little bit more insight into that?
Yeah, there's been some knowledge for quite some time, starting out with the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, doing a number of research projects establishing a correlation between gum disease, heart attacks, and strokes specifically. And so there's risk factors there. And whenever we're talking about working towards better health, we're talking about reducing risk factors. And the primary reason for risk factors in this instance is the inflammatory process, which we're learning more and more about, mm-hmm. is a key link with many other sorts of diseases and conditions.
So what can we do? I mean, in my mind, it is, you know, brushing, flossing, regular dental checkups, et cetera. Is there more to this?
Well, unfortunately, about 50% of the American population has moderate to severe gum disease, and only 3% of that population is seeking active care. And that reservoir of bacteria, if you will, is what's cross-infecting the rest of us. And it's also cross-infecting, for example, fetuses. And last January, there was a conclusive link between a mother's mouth bacteria and the death of her stillborn baby. And that was the research was confirmed back at Case Western Reserve in Cleveland.
Now that's very interesting. Can you talk to me a little? Explain that to me.
Well, there was a young woman, and it was her first pregnancy. And typically, there's bleeding of the gums with pregnancy due to the hormone changes, and that bleeding opens up the blood vessels and allows the pathologic bacteria to enter the bloodstream. That bloodstream is shared with the baby or the fetus. And in this case, with the altered immune system, she also had an upper respiratory tract infection. It allowed the bacteria to escape the immune defense of her body, get into the womb, and infect the baby, and the baby was born stillborn. This happened in Santa Monica. Unusual is that the family decided to do an independent private autopsy and had this done at Case Western Reserve, and they conclusively concluded the link between, by DNA analysis, the specific bacteria that was in the baby's body and vital organs and the mother's mouth.
Wow.
It was the first time. Yeah, it's the first time that's ever been done. And that was this January.
That is absolutely fascinating. Let me just divert a little bit here and ask you this question. What do you, or do you have any knowledge of the role of probiotics or the good bacteria as far as oral health goes?
Well, we know that bacteria are part of our bodies, and we have good bacteria and bad bacteria. What happens in disease is that the balance between the good and the bad gets tipped, unfortunately, in the side or the favor of the bad bacteria, such that the good bacteria, even if you have more that you add to that, are still way out of balance, and the bad bacteria can win. The reason for that is the bad bacteria exist in hard calcium deposits under the gum line, and they can persist and resist any attempt to flush them out through rinsing or antibiotics. Mm-hmm. That calcium deposit is like the lime deposit around a shower drain. It's very difficult to get off unless it's done professionally.
Wow, that is amazing. So what about this new laser technology that you have? Tell me about that.
Well, we developed a protocol back in 1991. Dr. McCarthy and myself, wherein we found that adding a laser to the equation, if you will, instead of a scalpel blade, we brought energy, quite literally, light energy of a specific wavelength that is attracted only to the pathologic bacteria and loosens the hard calcium deposits on the root surface. Mm-hmm. What that does is, in the process of cleaning out that bacteria and the loosening the deposits for removal with another instrument, it also seals off the blood vessels so we don't get that sort of response that this woman had when she had a bleeding gum. So we seal off the blood vessels and the lymphatics so there's not a transmission of bacteria during the procedure, and we basically close off the body to the reservoir that once was there, and then we remove it. We remove that reservoir, so we get a 1-2 punch.
Now, so the issue of going to the dentist and or the dental hygienist and them removing the plaque, are you saying that that is unsafe, not enough? What's your feeling on that?
It's not that it's unsafe. It's just we have found it's not as effective as the LANAP protocol. And the LANAP protocol allows us to destroy the reservoir that's in the tissue that scraping the gums won't remove, because they actually, the bugs, the bacteria, live and persist within the native cells of the human body, and we can't get to those. They infiltrate, like a pimple infiltrates the tissue surrounding the pimple itself. It's a cellulitis of a sort.
Right.
So how do you drain the swamp? You have to have some technology that reaches out and touches those bacteria without destroying the native structures.
Are there dentists like you using this technology throughout the country?
We have over 1,000 dentists around the country, and 10% of those dentists are periodontal specialists. So we've got quite a good representation around the country, every state in the union, including Guam and Hawaii and, mm-hmm. and Alaska. So, yes, this is available, you know, and we have some in Canada as well. And we're just about ready to start introducing this into the European market.
Now, this is something that is, does this technology need to be approved by the FDA?
Not only was the technology approved by the FDA back in 2004, but the protocol was also approved based on unique science that was completed by Professor Raymond Yuckna at Louisiana State University.
That's fantastic. That is, you know, I work with I've done some work with a group of dentists that are just so innovative in what they do and how they do it. I wonder if these guys know about this. I'm fascinated to find out about this. But how do people find out if there's a dentist in their area? Do you have a website?
Yes, we do. The best thing to do is go to the dentist locator on our website at www.lanap.com.
So once again, folks, that's www.l as in Larry, a as in Apple, n as in Nancy, LANAP, a as in Apple, and then p as in Paul, once again, .com. So LANAP.com. So this has really taken dentistry to the next level as far as periodontal disease, hasn't it?
Well, it has when you consider that the 10%, the number of 10% of our customers that are specialists also represent 10% of the specialists in the Academy of Periodontology. And I think most people appreciate that when you reach 10% of a given community when you're adopting a technology, you start to call that the tipping point, or you're approaching that. Mm-hmm. So within the specialists who are the biggest scrutinizers of anything that comes under their domain, 10% of them are on board and are practicing this and championing it.
And you still continue to see patients? You're practicing your art right now?
Yes, I do. I still continue to practice 4 days a week. In fact, that's really the reason I got into this, is as a means to help my patients get through the frustration of the periodontal penalty box, if you will, of recurring infections and disease. And we'd like to try to knock this thing out and reverse it and build bone and not do it through cut and sew.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, I thank you very, very much for your time today. And this is, I love learning new stuff, and this is fascinating.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Once again, folks, www.lanap.com. www.lanap.com. And you can find a dentist in your area that is using this technology and this procedure. Stay with us, folks. I'm Dr. Derek DeSilva. You're tuned to Health Radio. We'll be back with you in just a bit.